that, by the way, the armor of God on Sunday, so you understand what that is and how to protect yourselves, not only from any virus, but from any sickness, any poverty, any depression, any weapon that the devil would have against you. The armor of God shields you from it. Connect with this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. You're going to learn how to wear that, how to walk in it, and activate your authority. It's going to be awesome. Hey, listen, so glad to join with you. Of course, I hope you're following me in the morning so I can keep you updated with what's going on with, you know, with me getting arrested on Monday and all the events that have gone on with that. Check with me on Monday mornings for prayer and proverb. We'll cover all that stuff with you in the updates. Amen. If you got your Bible, grab your Bible. Let's make this faith confession real loud and really strong. If you're ready, let's say it. Say it. This is my Bible, God's word to me. I am all it says I am. I can do all it says I can do. And I have all it says I have. As I put these words in my heart, keeping them on my lips, then shall I make my way prosperous. I shall deal wisely and have great success all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, give God a big old shout of praise right where you are. It doesn't even matter who's in the house. Go ahead. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're on a series called God's Word, y'all. And you know, this really is the most important thing you'll do in life is to renew your mind, get in this word, make it a part of your life. In fact, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, John 15 and verse 6, he said, you can ask what you will and it'll be done of my Father. Why? So that you bear fruit. It gives glory to the Father. And so we want to abide not only in our relationship with him, but we want to abide in the word. And that's what we're talking about. Today, specifically, I want to talk to you about getting the word in your heart. You know, the Bible is a powerful living book. We've talked about that, but it will come alive when it's planted in your heart. Turn over in your Bible. We'll look at our foundation text in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. You're probably already familiar with this passage, but let's read it. It goes like this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Abiding in the word means living in the word, living in it like I'm living in my body, inseparable from it. You set the parameters of your life by it, not just head knowledge, but living by it, living in it. He said, that's what makes you a disciple. And look at what being a disciple does. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I see a lot of believers that are still bound up, bound to addiction, bound to sin, just their lives end up in a wreck, in trouble. And 100% of the time, it's a result of not living by the instruction that dictates or the fruit of the word. Every single problem, every single challenge, every single bondage, every single sin, every addiction, everything that binds you, tries to steal, kill, or destroy your life. Anything from the enemy can be overcome by the word. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. Well, Pastor, how do I get this word to work for me? How do I get it in practical terms to produce healing in my body when my body is full of sickness? How do I do it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So get your Bible. Let's get into it. First of all, what we said early on is that the word is more than just a book. The word of God, the Bible, the word is living word. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that it's alive. The word of God is not like any other novel or book. It's God's words with his life and his breath. John 6:63, Jesus said this, my words are spirit and they are life. And Timothy in 3 verse 16, it says that the word of God is God-breathed. Every scripture is God-breathed. It contains God's breath in it. And his breath, the same way that God formed the dust of the ground and breathed his breath into his breath into that dirt, caused it to come alive, is the same way the word of God will cause healing to produce in your body. It's the same way it will cause peace in your spirit. It works the same way. And so that's where we're going to learn today, how to get it in our heart so it can produce fruit. Remember that the word of God is not just a book, it's alive, it's living. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus said that the truth will make you free, he's talking about him making you free. He is the living truth. But also Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, remember this, he said, praying to the Father in his high priestly prayer, right before he's going to the cross, he says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is the absolute truth, but it's also alive. The good news about that is the truth just doesn't shine its light on you or expose darkness. The truth also expels darkness. It will change. It can remove sickness. It doesn't just show you where you're wrong. It can change the wrong in you. That's how you got born again. When you got born again, when you got saved, when you received Jesus by hearing the word, which is the living truth, what happened was you got transformed. Your spirit got transformed because the word of God is the seed of God. It contains the DNA of God. It contains the life of God. And so when you got born again, you heard the word, you simply believed it. And in 1 Peter 1:23, it says the word of God is the sperma of God. It's the sperm of God. It's the life of God. And it infused, just like the sperm of a man impregnates or infuses the egg of a woman, and it causes a new life to exist that never existed before. That's what the word of God did to your human spirit. It was able to change your dead spirit and make it alive, give you the exact same spirit of Christ. Now, the key when you get born again, your spirit is forever born again, is forever changed, 100% reborn, is the righteousness of God. All that is in your spirit. But the key is to get it working in your life to see a change. You know, you're on your way to heaven if you're born again, but you want to see the healing. You want to see the joy, the peace. You want to see all that realized in your life. It has to permeate from your spirit into your soul, which is your mind, will, intellect, emotions, and imagination, your personality, your subconscious. You want it to get into that. And the only way that's going to happen is if the word is planted in your heart. And that's what we're talking about today, how to get the word in your heart. Your heart is a combination of your soul and your spirit. You are spirit directly from the breath of God. You possess a soul, which is your mind, will, intellect, emotions, and imagination. And you live in an earth suit called a body. This earth suit, this body is made from the dirt. But your spirit came directly from God. And it's intertwined with your soul. And that's what we've got to renew. That's what we've got to get the word of God in so that we can change our life, change our living. Amen. Turn over in your Bible. We looked at this passage last week in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. This is an awesome passage because God here shows us how the word of God operates, how it operates. Look over in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. You there? Look what it says. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, like the rain won't return to heaven void. He says, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So God says here, here's how the word works. It works like rain and snow that come down to the ground. Remember, we're made of the ground. Our bodies are made of the ground. When the rain hits the ground, it waters seed. The Bible says it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So just like bread, now think about this, like we're using an example of bread. The word of God is like bread and it's like seed. Bread does you no good unless you eat it, unless you ingest it and digest it and it's broken down and gives nourishment and life to your body. The word of God is the same way. It's no good just sitting in the book. It's no good its greatest impact isn't just in your ear. It's not good enough just to hear it and understand it. It's got to be planted in your heart, become part of your life, become part of you. And that's what we want to see, the process in doing that today. Amen. And we're going to work on the seed beginning next week, how it operates as a seed. Jesus told great detail about that. But watch this. Here's what I wrote in my notes. Number two, the truth does us no good if it doesn't get into our heart, which is our soul and our spirit, and ultimately your subconscious. It does you no good unless it changes your thinking and changes your life. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? You know people who know the word, that can quote scripture, but they're not living it. It's in their head, but it's not in their heart. When it gets planted in your heart, it starts to grow and produce fruit. It changes the sin in your life. You can't sin like you normally did because that word is alive on the inside of you. John talks about that in his epistle. He says, if you're truly born again, you can't sin. Like, you can't live habitually in sin like you used to. You can't. When that word is watered, when you have real relationship with Jesus and real relationship with the word, you can't go on in life like normal. It won't feel the same. It won't be the same. It won't have the same. Sin won't be the same anymore. And likewise, the more you keep feeding that word, the more that darkness, the sin, the addictions get moved out from your life. Amen. Now, turn on over in your Bible. I love this passage. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, Jesus tells us about how this whole operation works. And he refers to us, oftentimes in the scriptures, the Bible refers to us as being trees. And that whole process, and of course you understand, seed tree comes from a seed and it produces fruit. But look what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Look at this. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Think about that just for a second. You can tell an apple tree by apples hanging on it, peach tree by peaches hanging on, orange tree, etc., etc. You can tell the condition of us as trees by the fruit that's on us, by the health, by the peace, by the joy, by the relationships, by our marriage. What's going on? We can tell if something's wrong on the inside by the fruit that's being produced in our life. And again, fruit takes time to produce. So, you know, this is a process. So not just instantly is this going to happen. If a person gets born again, you may not see radical change instantly until they understand how to get in the Word of God, get feed off the Word and off the milk of the Word, the Bible calls it. Amen? And it's a process. All right, look over in verse 34, Matthew 12, 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, this is really interesting right here because Jesus is showing us something. Our words will be in line with what's going on with our heart, what we really believe, what's really in our heart. You get what I'm saying right there? When you get enough healing word on the inside of you, your words will align with that. You won't speak sickness. You'll recognize, and you've trained yourself to do this by getting the word and getting it on the inside of you. Sickness gets out of your mouth. Why? Because in your heart it's not there. It's not on the inside of you. Well-being, blessing, health, prosperity. When you put those things on the inside of you, your life will produce that. But notice, he says, how can you speak these things? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Awesome. Look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So from the abundance of our heart, we produce the things that are in our life. This is such an awesome truth. Let me read the rest of it. It says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So our life is the production of what comes out of our own hearts. If you want to change your life, you've got to change it from the inside first. You've got to change what's in the roots of the tree, the root system, and the production that comes in your life is going to come from what's in your heart. So it's easy. It's a process to change your life. Many people look to just try to change the fruit. They try to change the fruit. And that's like a Christmas tree where you just hang ornaments on it. But those things don't last. The kind of fruit that lasts is that comes up from it. You can't, you'll produce that and it's everlasting. You get what I'm saying? If you just chase after the fruit, if you just chase after healing, getting it externally is what I mean, without changing on the inside how you believe about it and making healing a part of your being, making it a part of the way you think, the way you know who you are. When you know that healing is a part of you, it's produced from the inside of you. Amen. And that's what he's talking about right here. Amen, amen. Look over in your Bible at Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 30 and 31. This is awesome because all throughout the scriptures, the Bible talks about how this word has to be in our heart. Not just in our head, but in our heart. Look at Psalms chapter 37. Let me get to it too. Psalms 37 and verse 30. I'm reading from the New King James. 30 and 31. Watch this. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Here we go again. You're going to watch the mouth, the heart. Here we go. And his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Did you see that? The word has to get in your heart and produced out of your mouth. Watch this. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Watch what he's saying here. Get the word in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth, and then it starts changing the results of your life. You start doing things differently as a result of this word taking root in your heart and producing in your life. Look over at Psalms. Just flip over to the right a couple pages. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 6 through 9. Now, I love this passage because this is a passage that you can also read in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is this chapter where Jesus and the Father are having a conversation about Jesus coming to the earth. And you remember it in Hebrews, but this is where it comes from Psalms chapter 40 and verse 6. It says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Jesus saying this to the Father. You didn't want all these lambs and bullocks. He says, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. But then he says in the Hebrews, it says, but you gave me a body to make that sacrifice. Here it is. Look what it says here in Psalms. Burnt offering and sin you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book is written of me. Jesus said, the whole book is about me. All the lambs, all the sacrifices, all the books, all that is about me offering my life. He says, I delight to do your will, O my God, verse 8, and your law is within my heart. His God's word, in fact, we know it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14, and the word became flesh. Jesus, the word became flesh. The words that you put on the inside of you will become manifest too. They'll grow into manifestation, just like a seed. The word of God became flesh. Oh my God, that's so awesome. Look over in your Bible. Turn over to Psalms again. We're just going to stay in the Psalms for a little bit. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's a long chapter. I think 168 or 178 verses. 176 verses. And every single verse is about the Word of God. Every single verse in it. It's a great chapter to read because every single verse says something. Let me just show you. Look at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. The way, of course, is a type of the word. Who walk in the law of the Lord. There it is. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Three times the word is mentioned here. Look at verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. There it is. His ways is the word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every single verse. Jump down to verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here we go again. The word rooted and grounded in your heart, that's your soul and your spirit intertwined, that I might not sin against you. When you get in bondage to a sin or an addiction, the word in your heart, and I'll show you how to do that before we end today, how to plant that word in your heart intentionally to produce a result, to get rid of that addiction, to get rid of that sin, to get rid of that sickness. You apply it just like you would apply medicine. This is what's so awesome. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Statutes, that means word. With my lips I have declared, here we go, speaking it again, all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. There we go again, that's the word. As much as in all riches. He said, I value your word like I value money. Your word is more valuable than money to me. And it really is, because the Word of God is what will bring prosperity. The Word of God will bring health when medicine can't. The Word of God is that medicine. The Word of God can bring your marriage into well-being, even when your thinking is off. It can change your thinking. The Word of God will do that. All right, look down at verse 15. He gives how it works. I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your word and contemplate your ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. When you meditate on this word, it implants it in you where you can't forget it. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your being. It becomes a part of your life. And that's what we're going to do. That's the secret to getting the word in your heart is meditation, meditating. Now, meditation, I know for us here in the West, in the Western Hemisphere, in America, meditation sounds Eastern. It sounds like, well, what does that mean? I got to sit there and hold my fingers like this. I remember one time on a plane, Janae and I sat next to each other, and there was a girl at the window, and she sat there the whole time. She put her feet up in the chair, and she sat there with her fingers like this and closed her eyes and was like, and I knew she was trying to meditate and she just did it at takeoff and at landing. She was real nervous at those times. But meditation is not clearing your mind to emptiness and coming one with the universe. What meditation, according to the scriptures, is taking God's word and thinking on them, rolling around in your head. I'll give you a definition here in just a minute. But let's look at some more scripture. Look over in Proverbs. I just want you to see that it's a difference in just hearing the word, difference in reading the word. Meditating the word is what causes it to be one with you. And many believers never get to that. They never take the time to do it. And I got to tell you, it will take some time, but you can make the time to do that. You can do it while you're at work. You can do it while you're in your car. And that's what the Bible is going to say. It's something that we can all do. Look over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Let's look at that. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Here we go again. Hearing it in our ears, taking the word in, making it a part of our heart. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek it as for silver, if you seek this wisdom as for silver. Here again, he's saying the value of getting this word in our heart is greater than money. It can do what money can't do. Jump down to verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart, and that's what you'll do when you start meditating on the Proverbs. And again, when we're talking about meditation, reading is a part of it, and I'll give you seven ways to meditate. But it's not just reading, it's taking a piece of a scripture or one scripture, like out of Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. There's been days that I've meditated on that and years gone by. I've done it in recent years as well, but years gone by that has helped change my whole career. I would just take that one verse and while doing my walks, walking for an hour or so, just repeat that same verse over in my head, see it, my God, and just take it like a cow chews. In fact, that's what part of those words mean. It means chewing it over and over and over and over, like a cow chews grass. Have you ever seen a cow that just chew the same grass? What I've heard is they've had four compartments in their stomach where it goes in one part of the stomach, they regurgitate it, chew it again, chew it. And actually, that's why in the Old Testament, why the Bible says under kosher law that they could eat cows, but they couldn't eat certain type of animals with a different type of hoof. A cow they could eat because their hooves allowed, really what it amounted to was because they ate their food and digested it well. That's what it meant. And when we digest his word, that's what we're doing. When we're putting it around in our mind, rolling it over and over and over. Actually, this is actually what Mary did, the mother of Jesus, when the angel showed up and said to her, Mary, you're highly favored among women. Here, in fact, look over there. I didn't cover this morning, but this is, and it's not in my notes either. But look over in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. How did Mary take and get pregnant with simply a word from God? The Holy Spirit, let's look at it, because it explains meditation, what she did. I'm in Luke chapter 1. I'll read it from the Amplified Bible. I'm in the Amplified Bible, chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the town of Galilee named Nazareth to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, all right? And he came to her and said, what is it? He's bringing the word of God. Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women. Watch what she does here. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said. Look at this next part. And kept revolving in her head what such a greeting might mean. When he said that to her, she started rolling that around in her head. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. What does that mean? I'm blessed and highly favored. She took the word of God that the angel brought her and started meditating on it, rolling it around on the inside of her. That's exactly what meditation was. It prepared her to receive that seed and produce what God had for her. She had to receive it by faith, just like we do. But with you and I, the same thing. We've got to take these words and meditate. I'm going to show you specifically scriptures on how to do that. Amen? Proverbs, back over to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. What he goes on to say is when you get this word in your heart, it will cause your thinking to change, ultimately causing your behaviors to change. The word will change you. This is the great news about the word of God. It's alive. And not only does it shine a light on what's wrong in our lives or what's not in sync with the word of God, the word of God itself will change those things as we put it in our heart. You get what I'm saying? It's an effortless change. It's a victory that you don't have to struggle and fight for. The word will do it for you. It's the sword of the Spirit. It will do the fighting for you. Oh, good news. All right. Now turn over in your Bible. So it's meditation that's going to change everything in your life with the word of God. Why many people, the word doesn't become alive to them is because they really never get it in their heart. Yeah, even if you're born again, You love God. You're on your way to heaven. But if your life isn't radically changing, it's one of two things. It's not a connection and relationship with God, a fellowship, a relationship. You know what I mean? You can be part of a family and not have communion with that family. You can be born by a parent, by parents, and not have relationship with those parents. You can be born of God and not know how to work this relationship with Him, this communication with Him. And Jesus said it. It's this communication that's abiding in Him and abiding in His Word. Those are the essential things with being a Christian, the most essential. Amen. Look over in your Bible, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Familiar passage of Scripture. Here's where we find out meditation. And what I love about, I'm going to show you three passages that connect prosperity with meditation. Prosperity connected directly in the same verse with meditation. Watch this. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You're familiar with this one. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Here we go again. The word in your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So in other words, let's stop for a second. Get the word in my mouth. All right, that's a part of meditation. Meditating on it. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to meditate on it. Think it. Roll it around in my head day and night. All right. So now watch, y'all. Throughout the day, many of us are meditating. We're meditating on things unconsciously. We're thinking about something. Your mind is just never stops unless you're dead. It's even at night, it's working. And the Bible even talks about that. Meditate at night on your bed so that you dream night dreams about that word. You can set the pace of your dreams and the course of your dreams, even while you're asleep, as you start putting these words in your subconscious, getting it in your mind where you start thinking about it, even while you're asleep. Your mind will start working it. Oh, it's so awesome. Look, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. So the meditating on it will cause a change in my actions. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Y'all get the formula here? It's really a prescription. Many people are praying and asking God for prosperity, but if you'll notice this scripture, God's not in it. He's saying it's up to you. You get the word in your mouth, in your heart, meditate on it, then you'll be able to do according to what's written in it, then you'll make your way prosperous. Do y'all get that? You will have good success. Notice this too, in the passage it says you'll have good success. That means there's bad success. So meditating on God's word will bring good success. Amen. Now, meditation, to make it more plain for you, because I know that sounds like a Middle Eastern term to us, but meditation is the exact opposite. Worry is meditation, but in the wrong direction. Worry, have y'all ever worried about something? Worried about your kids, worried about your money, worried about coronavirus, worried about stuff. When you worry about things, what's happening is your mind is rolling around. Well, what if I get it? It starts plotting it out. What am I going to do? If I'm in the hospital, who's gonna pay the bill? Is my insurance going to work? And it starts looking forward of all these things that haven't occurred just in your mind. It's happening in your mind. It starts creating responses in your body. It starts creating these fears. Worry does. Worry is a form of meditation, but on the wrong things. The amazing thing is, in the scriptures, Jesus gives the remedy for meditating in the wrong direction. You hear it so often with what we're going through now, coronavirus, COVID-19. One of the greatest, it's a pandemic, we see that, but what's epidemic is the fear that it's creating in believers, unfortunately. We understand it in the world. They're hopeless without a medicine, without the world doing something, but we have a hope. We're not a hopeless in the world, and we don't have to live with fear. In fact, the Bible tells us don't live with fear over and over. Fear not, don't fear. Why does he say that? Why not? Why don't be afraid? Every time Jesus showed up, fear not. You know, because think about it. If Jesus showed up in this room, I might have a chance to go, oh. He keeps them and prohibits them from walking in fear. Why? Because it causes responses. It causes you to think and meditate on things. And so Jesus shows us this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6, turn over there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I hope you've got your Bible and you're walking with me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with this. Remember this? Jesus has this whole section where he talks about worry. Why? Because worry is meditation in the wrong direction. Look at his remedy. Let's talk about it. Watch this. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he gives us perspective here. He says, listen, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Isn't life about more than just that? Watch this. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Answer, yes. What is Jesus doing here? He's trying to shift the focus off of the seeking the stuff. We're looking at the problem and shifts the focus onto what is the solution. God is the solution. Now watch how important this is, y'all. He's getting humanity to look at nature. I don't know if you've ever done this. I love doing this. I love sitting out on my patio. I love sitting by the ocean and watching birds. I love just looking at nature. I love going to the zoo. It's just beautiful. You can see the majesty of God in his creation, in the animals, in the birds. I love waking up, hearing the birds singing and whistling. And so God is getting us here to change focus. Listen to me. The greatest problems in our life are not the problem, the issue itself. It's the focus. The problem isn't the problem as much as the focus is the problem. Jesus had the same, God had the same issue with the children of Israel. God wanted them to focus on the grapes and the beauty of the promised land. They focused on the giants and the problems. God wanted them to focus on his promise. The promise was, this is going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It sure is. Look at the size of the grapes. Look at everything. They said, no, but look at the giants. He says, I know it. Giants build big houses, though, and plant big crops. The problem was not the problem. The problem was the focus. God couldn't do what he wanted to do because in them, bringing them in the promised land, because they walked in fear because their focus was wrong. Likewise with us as believers. As long as our focus is on the things that are destructive out in the world, we make ourselves more susceptible to them. Why? Through fear and through worry. So Jesus addresses it right here. Let's read on. Look over at verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What he's saying is worrying isn't going to fix this. You've got to stop the worrying. It's going to actually multiply, increase exponentially the problem. He says, so verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, Solomon with all his wealth still wasn't clothed like the lilies of the field. You get that? He says, now if God, he's trying to get the focus off of the problem and put it on the solution. The solution isn't focusing on fixing the external. The solution is in refocusing, getting you on the inside changed. Getting you on the inside to see the solution is through him. Watch here. Here we go. He says, so why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, not even like one of these. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, what he's saying is, I'm in love with you. You're created in my likeness and my image. You're my child. I'm in love with you. And just like we love our kids, don't you love your kids more than your house, more than your car, more than your clothes? They're more valuable to you than any of your stuff. You'd rather have your kids than you'd have your stuff. You get what I'm saying? You can get the stuff back, but your kids they're irreplaceable. Come on, somebody. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. And this is God saying this. That's God saying. Therefore, do not worry saying. Look at this. Meditation comes with saying. And in either way, worry comes with saying. Oh, no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if this virus hits our house? What are we going to do if we get sick? What are we going to do if we lose our job? Meditation always comes with accompanying words. We say things. He says, therefore, do not worry saying. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Look what he says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. The unbelievers, and that's what he's talking about when he says Gentiles, the unbelievers, those that aren't in covenant with God, think the solution to their problem is fixing the thing that's the problem. Fixing the money, fixing the sickness, going up. God is saying, no, the true solution is, he gives it right here, they seek after the things, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Who knows? Your heavenly Father. Here's the solution. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The things, the health, the job, the career, the marriage, those are byproducts. Those are not the products. Those are the byproducts of something. Byproducts of seeking first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. They'll be the byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God. So seeking first the kingdom of God, notice that he didn't say seek only the kingdom of God. What he's doing is setting the priority for every person in the kingdom. It has to be the first thing. It has to be the priority. It has to be the thing that we honor first. Like tithing and giving is not, oh, what do I have left over? Tithing and giving. The kingdom of God says, make that the first thing. Honor God with our money first. Honor God with our time first. And I get it. Everybody's schedule is different. But it has to be a priority. The ways of God for your marriage to succeed, for you to have a successful career, the things of God have to be first priority. For these things to work, God doesn't take a back seat, second seat, and go, hey, I'll get to you, God, when I need you, when some crisis comes. But many people live the kingdom principles that way. He says, no, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? You're in right standing with God as a believer. Many believers don't understand that they have been given this gift of righteousness. They have been given this gift of life, this gift. These things are all gifts from God. We get to live through his life. But if we don't seek those things, we'll never understand them. We've got to put them in our heart so they become first place. Amen. Look at the last verse, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Isn't that something? Tomorrow. He said, don't take your worry from today to tomorrow. Isn't that typically what worry is? Worry is, now what am I going to do today if my money starts? You start thinking about, well, what about rent next month? What about mortgage next month? What am I going to do if I don't make this money? He says, stop thinking about tomorrow like that. Don't go out in tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you seek the kingdom of God, that peace that Jesus has is there. Every single thing that you have that you need from God comes through seeking him and his kingdom first. Amen, amen. And we'll talk about that another time in greater detail. But here, meditation. Let me give you a definition of meditate. Meditate in the Hebrew, by the way, is the word haga. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But what meditate means, to mutter under your breath, to say it, you know, over and over, my God shall supply all of my need. My God, he's my God. And just breaking it down under your breath, to ponder. What does that mean? My God shall supply. Not my supply, my God. Not my mom, not my business, but my God shall supply. You see how I'm breaking it down like that and chewing on it? My God, my Elohim. I start breaking it down. Imagine what I do. I start imagining my God supplying my needs. I see my needs being met. I start dreaming about that, thinking about what that means to me, to think on it. Y'all get what I'm saying? The word meditate in the Hebrew, y'all know the Hebrew, I've taught about some of the, I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, but I've studied enough of Joseph Prince's teachings on it to understand some of the things about it. But the word meditate, where we see in the Old Testament, Psalms 1, we said, did we read Psalms? We haven't read Psalms 1 yet, but in Joshua chapter 1, that way, this book of the law shall not depart from the mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That word is haga. Say that. Haga. Spelled like this in English, H-A-G-A-H, haga. And what, if you know anything about the Hebrew language, Hebrew is the most artistic language. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters, every letter is a number, and every letter has a picture associated with it, a pictograph. You can pull it all up on Google, all that. But like Aleph, the first letter, Aleph. The picture of it is an ox. Aleph. I am the Aleph in the tenth. That is the first letter of the alphabet. So many things there. But the Haga is the letter H or He. We call it an H. He, and it's said like this. It's a breath. It's literally just you breathe it. It's the breath of God. It's the grace of God. He represents grace. It's the fifth letter in the alphabet, right? He. Then, of course, they read from right to left, but it's hey, and then gamel. Gamel is the picture for gamel is a foot, and it even looks like a foot or a camel. What the picture is a picture of transporting. Transporting. They traveled on camel or travel on foot in the Middle East, right? And so it's grace transporting grace. Grace, haga, is the breath of God, the grace of God, the favor of God transporting to more grace. And that's what meditation does. It takes the grace of healing and transports it into your heart and into your life. Meditation transports grace to grace. It moves it through you into your life. Y'all, you got to get how important meditation is. This is why the Bible says we've got to meditate in the Word day and night. Why? It takes the grace of the breath of God, the grace of God, and takes it and transports it into your life, from your head to your heart, to your life. Amen, amen, amen. Look over at Psalms. Look over at Psalms chapter 1. Ooh, my time's running out. Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at these passages, because the Bible tells us in a few passages about meditating, how it brings prosperity. Prosperity is more than just money, but that's a part of it. It's in your career. Prosperity is in your family. You want prosperity in your health. You want prosperity in your mind, peace. You want prosperity in your life and joy. You want all that God has for you. And meditation is what manifests it in your life. Look at Psalms chapter 1. You're familiar with this. Verse 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law," or the word of the Lord, "and in his law," or his word, "he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does," you guessed it, "shall prosper." Meditation connected with prosperity. And again, watch what it said. It shows you the process. You meditating on this word day and night will make you like a tree planted by rivers of water. Planted. In other words, the root system gets connected to the word, and it produces fruit even when other trees further inland aren't producing. Why? Because your roots are in the Word of God, in the Word, which is that water of God. Amen. And it says his leaf will never wither. You know, when you look up leaves in the Bible, in Revelation, it talks about leaves being healing for the nations. It says your healing will never wither. That's what it's talking about. Are y'all with me? Whatever you do will prosper when we're not seeking after the stuff, but seeking after the kingdom of God. In other words, making that priority. Now, hear what I'm saying again. It's not the only thing you do, but it's the priority. You have to put that in place. And that's why I encourage you to join me in the mornings for Proverbs. Get it so I can show you these things and show you in the Proverbs. As you put the Proverbs in your heart, they get on the inside of you. Amen, amen, amen. All right, turn over in your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writing to his student here, teaching him what to do. But look at this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going to read this in the old King James Version. It says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them," completely to them, "that thy profiting may appear to all." Here we go again. Meditation in the same passage, same verses, right with prosperity. As you meditate on these things, of course, Paul was telling Timothy to meditate on his gift, meditate on the word, meditate on what you've been called to do. Think about those things, imagine those things, roll those things in your mind so that all can see your profiting. What is he talking about? That it's manifested. How we manifest the word, how it becomes flesh to us is through meditation. There's several passages in Psalms over and over that say the same thing. If you just pull up Blue Letter Bible or something like that, any of the Bible apps, pull that word up in the concordance and look at those verses. You're going to see the same thing over and over, saying it, thinking about it in bed, saying it when you wake up, thinking about it through the day, over and over in the Psalms, over in the Old Testament. You can see it all throughout the scriptures. Even in the New Testament, it says things like this: think on whatsoever things are good. You know, if there be any virtue, if there be any, remember, if you think on anything, think on things that are good. Say these things that are good. Why? Because your life is moving in that direction. That's part of meditation. So what I want to give you now is 7 ways to meditate. And these are really progressive. You need really more than just one of these things. It's a combination of these things to get it in your heart. But it's very simple to do. Here's the first one. Number one, to meditate on God's word is to read it. Just like what we're doing in the mornings, just like you do, hopefully you'll take a time in the day to just read it. That's one way. Reading the word of God. Have you noticed this? That the Bible says faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say by reading. Reading has another application to you, and I believe it is a part of meditation. Amen? So number one, read the word. Read the word. Get a translation that's good and simple for you to read. I love the New King James, the Bible I use, the King James, the parallel. King James on one side, Amplified on the other side. That's what I study from mostly. But in the Proverbs, you'll see I read from the Message, I read from the Good News translation, several different translations. It's the concept, it's the precept of it that you're getting into your heart. Amen. Number two way to meditate on God's word is listening to the word, hearing the word. I love the apps that I have on my phone. YouVersion Bible app. I don't know if you've gotten that one. It's a little brown Bible. has it in all kinds of different translations, but I use it all the time. I'm going to turn around here and grab mine, see if I got it open right now on my phone. But like in the mornings, okay, I'll get up and I'll read the word, read through the Proverbs. Typically, I'll read through 5 Psalms and just Cadillacing through it. Sometimes I get stuck in something that jumps out on me, but typically I'm just kind of refreshing my memory about it. But one of the things I love about this YouVersion Bible app is that I can get on my treadmill, and I do. I was listening this morning to John chapter. I wanted to go through the book of John, but I ended up just getting to about chapter 8. But here's the beautiful thing. I could put this on my treadmill, and it says the word, but it also, watch this, it'll read it.
The woman caught in adultery.
So what I'll do is I stick this right on my treadmill, right in front of me, so I can read it and hear it simultaneously. The verses go right up and I'm hearing it. All through the Bible, you can do it through every book, so you can hear it. Second way to meditate is by hearing it. Number 3, the third way, and there's several apps. I wrote down several of them. YouVersion Bible app, that's what I've got on here, but I've got Bible Gateway. You can go to BibleGateway.com. All these will read it out to you. Several different translations. BibleHub.com, another one, but there's many, many. Another thing that I like to listen to are messages. Listening to messages. I listen to Andrew Womack. I listen to Dwayne Sheriff. I listen to Creflo Dollar. I listen to mainly main guys like that I listen to pretty much on a daily basis. I wake up real, and again, you don't have to do it this way, but I'm just telling you that if you've got to implement some of these things in your life, you're the result of the habits that you're put in place. And just like you make a habit of exercise, you make a habit of eating, you make a habit of whatever it is that you want to do and make a part of your life, you're going to have to implement it. And really, that's when it's the hard part, is starting. It's not, once you make it a habit, you'll start feeling weird if you don't do it. If I don't get on the treadmill every day, if I don't take that walk every day, if I don't get out and do that, one way or another, for at least an hour a day, my day gets thrown off. If I don't get a proverb a day, I'm looking for it. It's like, it just, you know, because I've set it as a part of my life. I need it now. I need it. It's a part of my living. So listen to some. Number 2 is listening to the word, listening through messages. Number three is write out the word. I've done this with my son, my Trey. Y'all know he's an actor, and oftentimes he'll get scripts, and we have to go back and, you know, rehearse the script with him, and he's got an amazing memory. But it's sometimes when he has a long dialogue where it's just him talking a long part, and it, you know, it's really difficult to remember all of it, I'll tell him, write it down. Of course, he doesn't like to do it, but when you write things down, it just involves more part of your body. You're seeing it. I'll say it, hear it. I'll say, read it out loud so you hear yourself saying it. You know, when I started memorizing, wanted to memorize Psalms 91 several years ago. What I started doing was, at first, I'd play it so I could hear it and see it while I'm on my treadmill, but then I'd stop it and just say, maybe just day one, just say verse 1. The next day, say verse 1 and 2. Memorize 2 and then say verse 1 and 2. And just say it over and over and over. So it starts becoming a part of you over and over and over till I got through all 16 verses and could be able to say it every day. And that would be a part. And the funny thing was, I would say it, memorizing it with my fingers. I could remember it when I would just say verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I connected that with my thumb, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my God. You know, and I could tell which verse I was at by which finger I was on. What I'm saying is, it was becoming a part of me. It was, I knew verse 16 by when I'd run out of these fingers and come back this way, it's this one, right? And it's just amazing how this can, that's part of meditation. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm reading it, number 1, listening to it, number 2, writing the word out on paper, writing it out. And that's what I did with Psalms 91. Write it down. Are you with me? So number 3 is write it out. Number 4, look up passages of scripture, the ones you want to meditate on. If you're wanting healing, go through your concordance, go through a computer concordance, pull up the word healing, health, well-being. Pull up all those words and then go through all those verses. You say, Pastor, that's going to take some time. Listen to me. Either you do that now, or do you have, or you'll have a lot of time in the hospital if you get sick. I say it's better to invest the time now on a daily basis, taking an hour out of your 24, getting up a little bit earlier with spending some time with God, and making this preventive way where you walk in prosperity, walk in health, walk in peace, you know, just over your lifetime. Think about all the years that you've been alive, or all the time that you've been alive. What if you did just invest 1 hour a day, 1 hour a day, and invest it in that first hour? Of course, you can talk to God the whole time, and you can meditate on that verse all throughout the day, in the bathroom, while you're in your car. You know, many people take the time that they're in their car. I love music. Y'all know it. I'm a musician. But most of the time, my car time is for hearing the word, hearing messages. You say, Pastor, that's because you're a preacher. No, that's because I want this word working in my life. I did it before I was a pastor. I think that is a reason, part of the reason why I'm a pastor now. These things have pushed me in towards what I'm doing. But it'll do the same thing for you. You're just like me. It'll work for you just like it'll work for me. Amen? Number five. All right. Number one, read the word. Number two, listen to the word. Number three, write out the word. Write it out. Pin it down. Particular verses that you're looking for. If you want to get healing, write those down on little cards. Write them down while you're sitting there at work or maybe on your break. Just start looking at those, saying them out loud. You got it? Write it down. Look it up. Hang on. Write out the word, number three. Number four, look up passages in numerous versions. I love doing that, and particularly with the Amplified. That's why I primarily use a parallel Bible, because I can see another translation right then. I've got Bibles with four translations right next to each other. All of my, most of the translations I've got a few of those four level ones, four different translations, parallels, where I can see right next to each other. Or you can do it online. Do it right there online and just look and see what does that say in another way. And it'll bring out another angle, help you to understand it and help you to memorize it. Know it in your heart, right? Number five, say scriptures aloud and set to memory. That's that other portion I'm talking about. You see that when we talk about meditation, it always talks about saying it. When you say the scriptures, you'll start memorizing them and they'll become a part of you. Saying it wherever you are, even if you have your Bible or not, those verses that you're believing for, they become a part of you. And you want to say it. Now watch, not just to set it in your memory, but so that you can meditate on it. Say it so that you can, most of the days before I get out of bed, because I wake up really, really early in the morning, sometimes 3:30, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course, sometimes I don't really like to get out of bed till like 6 a.m., depending on what I've got going. But while I'm laying in that bed for the first hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes even more, either I'm listening or I'm just meditating, saying, before sometimes I'll get my phone and put my headset in my ears to listen, I'll go through Psalms 91 just in my head, go through Psalms 23 in my head, just say it and see it in my mind, just in my mind saying it, sing it. Psalms 23 has 6 verses. I'll say them in my head with my fingers again, just remembering it. What I'm doing is meditating on that, putting it on the inside of me. I'll do that before I get out of bed. In the shower, I can say those things. You get what I'm saying? So don't think it's going to take up so much time. Do it while you're in those passive times, in your car. Instead of just listening to the news or to the radio or whatever, take the time to hear that and then say it, repeat it so it becomes a part of you. I'm telling you, you say, that sounds kind of laborious. I'm telling you, it's going to produce a fruit in your life. That healing that you're putting on the inside of you will produce fruit of healing in your life. Are y'all listening to me? Number six, write scriptures on post-it notes. You know, on these little post-it notes, I have these kind of things right here where it's big enough just to write a verse out, stick it on your refrigerator, stick it on your mirror, stick it in the car, stick it on your Bible. I stick sometimes these verses right on my Bible. When I open it up, boom, there it is. I see it right when I open the cover. Write the verse down. It will help you memorize it, and it'll help you meditate on it. Number seven, talk about or teach the passages to others. Have y'all found that out? And this is where I have a real unfair advantage, because I get to teach this so often. And that's really why I love teaching, because while I'm teaching others, I'm hearing it myself, learning it. I'm learning different aspects about it. One of the amazing things is, with the Holy Spirit, as you begin talking about it, The Holy Spirit will teach you other things. Many of the things I've learned that I haven't read somewhere, I've learned while teaching it. While putting it out there, the Holy Spirit will let me see something that I haven't seen before. Are y'all with me? So meditation is something that we all can do. It's not weird. It's something you can do in your free time, do in the bathroom, do in the shower, in the tub, do in your bed while you're still laying there, before you go to sleep. It sets the pace for your dreams, and it will set the pace for your day. Let me go over those real quick once again, last time. Number one, read the word. Number two, listen to the word. And again, all my notes are available online, www.destinygso.org. Read the word. Number two, listen to the word. Number three, write out the word. Number four, look up the passages in numerous translations, numerous versions. Number five, say the scriptures aloud and set them to memory. Number six, write the scriptures on post-it notes, post them other places. Number seven, finally, talk about or teach passages to others. When you talk, share. This is the importance of small groups too. When we can talk about these things, teach them to others, you'll find yourself knowing it more and it becoming a part of your life. Hey, listen, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today, for locking in with me. I pray that this word has blessed you. And let me pray for you before we go. By the way, if you're watching today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and he has a great life in store for you. You're not an accident. You are not just the product of your parents' passion. You really are the product of God's purpose for your life. If you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to see him do a great work in your life, here's where it starts with receiving him. Say this simple prayer. Mean it in your heart. You're going to be forever born again. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord and you're my Savior. Right now, I'm forgiven, forever saved. Friend, if you said that simple prayer, we believe you're born again. Let me know right there on Facebook if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me know if this message has blessed you. Listen, I look forward to seeing you with me tomorrow morning right on Facebook Live, my account on Facebook at 7 a.m. for prayer and proverb. Listen, I love you and I